Today, Shira the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Vav. We begin on the very last line of Hey Amid Beis, where we quote the Mishnah, the two dots at the bottom, Ezehu Katan. We had said in the Mishnah that a certain type of katan doesn't have to be brought on the Daraisa level up to the mitzvah of Riyah, but on the Rabbanan level, there's a mitzvah of Chinuch on the father, Rashi said on the mother as well, to bring the katan. So how do we define a katan? So the Mishnah said, Kol she'eni yochel lirkov al ksefo shelovi. If the child is not able to go and ride on his father's shoulder, so that was the opinion of Beis Shammai, then he doesn't have to go up on Elias Regal, even midrabbanan. Beis Hillel says, on the other hand, that if the child can't walk up, a later stage in life, if you can ride on a child's shoulder, that's a younger child, but he has to be able to walk up in order to be chayav midrabbanan in the mitzvah of chinuch. The parents have the obligation to train him, only if he can walk up with the father. So that's the quote for the Mishnah. And the Gemara starts off the last words of Hey Omud Beis. Maski Flora of Zera. Zera questions this and he says as follows. Ad hocha man asye. He says, wait a second. The child's in Yerushalayim. They're staying, wherever they're staying in Yerushalayim. How did the child get there? So obviously the child was able to arrive in Yerushalayim, so he's old enough. We're dealing here with a child that's old enough. If he could come to Yerushalayim, why can't he go that little bit of extra distance and go up to the Har HaBayis? As Rashi points out, the top Rashi over here, Ad Yerushalayim mihaviyu. How did he get here to Yerushalayim? Rashi is assuming right now that the mother is not there, and therefore, if he was able to make it to this point without his mother, so obviously he's old enough to ride on his father's shoulders or walk holding his father's hand. So how come in this situation the child was able to get to Yerushalayim, but you're saying that he's potter from going up to the Har HaBayis, that the father is potter from bringing him up there for the mitzvah chinuch? So Abaye answers to Rav Zeira, and he says, Ad hocha demachayi v'imei v'simcha. The mother is also there in Yerushalayim, because she's obligated in the mitzvah of simcha as well. As Rashi points out, La'alos l'regel v'l'smoach b'chag and bala. She also, the mother has a mitzvah of Elias HaRegel to go up to be in Yerushalayim with her husband, because the al ha'simcha nitzdavu noshim, because women are also included, even though this is a time-dependent mitzvah. One might have thought that they're exempt. Nevertheless, the pasuk says, v'samachto ato uveisecha. So at the end of Re'eh, it tells us that the wife also has a mitzvah over here of simcha on the regel, so she has to be in Yerushalayim to eat the korban shlomim, to eat the other korbanos that she's allowed to eat, b'simcha. And therefore, she's in Yerushalayim with the child. But that doesn't mean that the child can go all the way up to the Har HaBayis. Mikan va'elech, from Yerushalayim, however, to the Har HaBayis, to go up to the Azara. Sim yochol lalos v'lechos b'yodo shel aviv, mi Yerushalayim la'Har HaBayis chayiv. V'ilo potter. But here, the rest of the journey, so then that's going to be dependent. Because the mother is there, it could be even a younger child. So it depends. If the child is old enough to go with the father on the shoulders, according to Beis Shammai, walking hand in hand with the father, according to Beis Hillel, so then there is an obligation of chinuch. But if not, then there is no such obligation. Now the Gemara asks a question that's going to be a challenge to the opinion of Beis Shammai. Heishiv Rebbe asked the following, Tachas Beis Hillel, so to say, on behalf of Beis Hillel, L'divrei Beis Shammai. Again, Beis Hillel says that the child has to be of an older age to be chayiv. He has to be able to walk and hold on to his father's hand. Whereas Beis Hillel says just has to be old enough that he could ride on the father's shoulders. So now, Beis Hillel, through Rebbe, is questioning Beis Shammai in the following way. The pasuk tells us, famous story of Shmuel's birth and Shmuel's early years of life, when Chana davened so hard to have a child, and she was given Shmuel, and then Shmuel stayed with Chana until he was 2 years old and went up to the Beis HaMikdash, where he then was staying with Eli for the rest of his youth. So it says, V'chana lo also. Chana, however, every year went up to Elias Rego with her husband, with Elkanah, but once Shmuel was born, she didn't go up. V'chana lo also. Why? Ki arma li'isha, she said to Elkanah, her husband, ad yigom el hanar, until the child is weaned. Weaning is a 24-month process, as Rashi tells us, l'sov chof dal cholish, at the end of the 24-month, when the child is weaned. In those days, they would nurse until 24 months. Shekein tinok yonek, a child would normally nurse until that point in time. And then at that point, the child would be old enough to go up with his father, with Elkanah and Rav Yosef. Then I will go up as well and bring Shmuel to the Azara. Now, Gemara questions and says, Baha, Shmuel at this point was almost 2 years old. So according to Beis Shammai, if you're old enough to ride on your father's shoulders, you're obligated to go up. So he was able to ride on his father's shoulders. He's nearing the age of weaning, or Chana says she'll bring him up when he's done weaning. So that means at 23 months, he's not yet weaned, but he's certainly able to ride on his father's shoulders as a 23-month-old child. And therefore, to go up to Yerushalayim, certainly, but here it's even in Shiloh, it's even closer. So certainly, why wasn't Elkanah obligated to go bring up Shmuel on his shoulders, according to Beis Shammai, when he's 23 months, when he's near the age of weaning? Until then, Chana says, I'm not taking him. Why not? So Amalei Avua, so the father of Rabbi, this is the great Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, he was Rabbi's father. So he answered his son and he says, well, Tamech, and according to you, what? Beis Hillel has no problem? Tikshi lo Chana gufa. You have the same problem with Chana herself. After all, Milo Mechaiva B'simcha, we just pointed out that women are obligated based upon the pasuk V'samachta Ato V'Secha, the women are obligated. Now, granted, Tosus disagrees a little bit with that pshat. He says that women can be Mekuyones, the mitzvah of Simcha, by just clothing. They don't, Lav Davka, have to go up to Yerushalayim. But in any event, the simple understanding here is that Chana was obligated to go up. So once Chana is obligated to go up, how come she didn't go up? She says, I'm staying behind. So what was the answer that Beis Hillel must give as to why Chana wasn't there? That same answer we can use to answer up Beis Shammai. So Tikshi lo l'Chana gufa, the question on Chana, how would Chana answer it? Milo m'chayva b'simcha, wasn't she obligated in Simcha? Nevertheless, she didn't go. Ella, what must you answer? Ella Chana, what did she see? V'fan kusa yisei rasa, she saw additional fussiness. She saw that the child, little baby boy Shmuel, Chaza baby Shmuel, she saw in him that he was a little bit of a fussy child. The Chosha baby Shmuel, and she was concerned that Shmuel would not survive the trip, L'chushu d'orcha, that the trip would be too much for him. So therefore, that was her heter not to go even to Shiloh with Shmuel herself because of this fussy child. And therefore, just like she didn't go, so therefore there was no obligation for Shmuel to go until the age that he was weaned. And therefore, there's no question on Beis Shammai, no question on Beis Hillel. Everybody is okay. By Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon asked the following shaylah, Katan chiger l'divrei Beis Shammai, v'sumo l'divrei shneihem, according to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel Mahu. What's the halacha? We know that the halacha is that a chiger doesn't have to do aliyas regal. He's physically incapable of going up. And it says, regalim, pa'amim, we said you have to go and have perfectly good feet to go. So a person who's lame is part of the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Likewise, a person who's blind, he can't go either, he can't see. So he's also potter from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Now that's for adults. So Rabbi Shimon is asking him here, what about a child? So a child who's a chiger, according to Beis Shammai, he could be carried on his father's shoulders, so maybe he has an obligation to go. Or do we say, no, since he's an adult, he won't be obligated to go. As a child, he's not obligated to go. And likewise, the sumo, according to both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, even though he's blind, the father could hold his hand. So therefore, even according to Beis Hillel, he could walk up. So Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have the question, what about a child who's a sumah? And what about, according to Beis Shammai, the child who's lame? He's a chiger, according to Beis Shammai, only because the father could carry him. According to Beis Hillel, he can't walk, so it's not a problem. But according to the opinion of Beis Shammai, the father could carry him. Rav Shimon asks, what would be the halacha for these children? Would they be obligated to go or not? Rav says, well, exactly what's the question over here? Hechidami, what is Rav Shimon talking about? Elaim, if we're talking about Bechigir Sheini Cholus Bashtei, if we're talking about a child that has a problem with his leg, Nebuch, the child has a problem that is not going to go and get better as he gets older. He has a certain congenital or traumatic problem that Nebuch, the child, got this injury and it's never going to heal. Oh, we're dealing with Nebuch, a child who's blind. He's never going to have his vision come back to him. So this is Nebuch, a blind child who's going to be blind as an adult as well. So then, the Gemara says, what is Rabbi Shimon's question? If the Gadol, having these conditions of either lameness in his leg or blindness in his eyes, is potter, so then Katan Mibayi would even have a havamina to think that the child is obligated to go. If this child were an adult, he wouldn't be obligated to go. So who would think that there's a mitzvah chinuch on the parent to bring up the child if the child is never going to have an obligation as a gadol to go? So obviously, Rabbi Shimon is not talking about a case where it's a permanent lameness in the leg, a permanent blindness. Ella what? Lo tzricha. Rabbi Shimon's question is, we're talking here about a child that right now is lame. He has a broken leg, but it's going to heal, b'ezras Hashem, and the child's going to be able to walk 6 months from now, 3 months from now, perfectly well. So, b'chiger shiyachol l'spashtei. If the child right now has a broken leg and can't walk up, so why doesn't the father have to carry him on his shoulders? That's the question that Rabbi Shimon says, because as an adult, he'd be chayiv. And the sumo, so right now the child has some sort of injury that he has to have his eyes patched. He has he got corneal injury. So right now his eyes are patched and he can't see. But mitzvah Hashem, the corneal injury will heal and the child will be able to see perfectly well as an adult. So the sumo, shiochol espaseach, this child is going to have good vision a little bit later in time. But right now he's blind, so does the father have an obligation to hold his hand according to Beis Hillel or to carry him on the shoulders according to Beis Shammai when he'll be able to do this as an adult? My, that's the question that Rabbi Shimon is asking. So Abaye answers it. Abaye says, no, the halacha is, Whether the adult would be obligated in this situation, so then the child has an obligation of chinuch. If the adult in this situation right now, then the child has an obligation of chinuch. So if the adult wasn't lame, wasn't blind, so then he would be obligated right now to go up. So too, the katan, if they're not lame and not blind, right now there's an obligation of chinuch. But if this condition were present in an adult, lameness or blindness, then the adult wouldn't be chayiv. So if the child has this right now, he's also not chayiv, even though eventually it will heal. Right now, we say, well, we look at it, Abaye says, and therefore, the answer to Rabbi Shimon's question is no. The child would have no obligation to go up if he was temporarily lame, temporarily blind, even though it will heal. Gemara continues by quoting the Mishnah, where it said, Beishamai yomim hariyosh tekesef v'chule. Beishamai says that the obligation to bring the olas riyah, the korban olas riyah, is 2 kesef, which we said was 2 more, which we said was 2/6 of a dinar. Each kesef is 1/6 of a dinar, so this one is 2 kesef for the olas riyah, and that's more, twice as much as the amount of money that you have to pay, minimal amount that you have to pay, versus the korban chagiga, which is 1 kesef, 1 more, or 1/6 of a dinar. So Beishamai says you pay twice as much for the olas riyah as you do for the shalmei chagiga, and Beisil said the pumfakert, the exact opposite. Beisil said that you pay twice as much, you pay 2 more for the chagiga, and you only pay 1 more for the olas riyah. They have exactly opposite opinions, and the Gemara will explain now each opinion by reading the following braisa. Tana Rabbanan, Beishamai omrim, as we just said for the Mishnah, the exact same thing here in the Braisa. Beishamai's opinion is that the Riyah is 2 more, and the Chagiga is only 1 more. Again, Kesef and more, interchangeable, and Kesef, 1 Kesef, or 1 more, is 1/6 of a dinar, so twice as much for the Olas Riyah as for the Chagiga, and he gives 2 reasons why in this Braisa. Number one, Shariyah Ola Kula Lagavoa. That the olas riyah is kulo toktor. It's an ola. It's totally brought on the mizbeach. It's entirely burnt on the mizbeach, with the exception of the hide, which is given to the kohanim that are doing the avoda. And that is why we pay more money for it, because it goes totally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to the chagiga, which we're allowed to go and eat. Part of it goes on the mizbeach. The emurim, they go on the mizbeach. The sacrificial fats go on the mizbeach. But the rest is eaten by the kohanim. They get a certain portion of the shlamim, and the balim get the rest of it. So therefore, the chagiga, you get benefit from, so we don't spend as much money on it. As opposed to the riyah, which goes totally to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you got to put in a larger amount of money. That's reason number one, va'od. Reason number two, matzinu ba'atzeres. We find in terms of the korbanos that are brought on Shavuos, on Atzeres, we find shariba behenakosu bi'olos yosim bishlamim, that the Torah said, when you're bringing both olos and shlamim, spend more money, i.e. bring more korbanos that are olos than that are shlamim. And where do we see this? So Rashi brings down the Parshas Shor Ochesef, that's what we read on Pesach, that's what we read on Sukkot as well. V'kiravtem al halechem shivas kvasim, you bring 7 kvasim, tamimim, that are without blemish, upar ben bakar echad, and 1 par, the elim shnayim, and 2 rams, that's a total of 7, 1 and 2 is 10. Yula ola ola lashem, those are 10 olos. And you bring on Shavuos, the only time we bring shlamim that are carbon sibur are the kivsi atzeres that we bring on Shavuos. That's the only time we have a carbon shlamim that's a carbon sibur. Every other time we bring a shlamim, it's an individual carbon, shami chagiga, shami simcha, shlamim that you bring just as a donation. So those are all korbanos yochid, as opposed to the kvasim that you bring on Shavuos by the tzibur. Those are shalmi tzibur. Those are the only ones, by the way, of a korban shlamim that are kodesh kodashim. All other korbanos shlamim are kachri kalim. In any event, this is the second reason for Beishamai to say that you spend more money on the ola, because we see that on Shavuos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants 10 olos, and he only asks for 2 shlamim from the tzibur, so therefore the olos are, quote, more important, and therefore you spend more money on the ola than you do on the shlamim. That is, are the 2 reasons of Beishamai. Beisil also gives 2 reasons why his opinion says, pumfaker, that you bring the chagiga with 2 kesef, and you only bring the olas riyah with 1 kesef. Beisil omrim hariyah more kesef, the chagiga 2 kesef. As I just said, it's only a 1/6 of a dinar for the riyah and 2/6 of a dinar, 1/3 of a dinar for the chagiga. Why is that? 2 reasons. Number one, shechagiga yeshno lefnei adibor, mashen kein b'riyah. He says, and Rashi points this out, that lefnei adibor means before matan Torah. So we find an obligation to go and bring shalmei chagiga albeit it's not necessarily for the yontif, but it was brought as a chagiga. It's used the word yachugu, so it teaches us that you have an obligation to bring a chagiga even before the Torah was given. So therefore, that's a primary type of a korban. The rest of the korbanos, the olos, and other korbanos were only told to us at Matan Har, at Matan Torah at Har Sinai. So therefore, the chagiga has more chashivas because it was before Matan Torah, as opposed to the riyah, which is only taught to us at Matan Torah. So that's reason number one why you spend more money on the chagiga. It's an earlier korban. Reason number two, Beis Hillel says, "Oh, Matzino b'Nesiim." We find the Nesiim at the Chanukah Semishkan. It says each of the Nesiim. Parshas Naso, we read all of the Nesiim. So it tells us each korban that the Nesiim brought, and it's there, and it shows there. Shereba v'hamakasa b'shlamim yosem ibaolos. By the Nesiim, it says that they brought more korbanos that were shlamim. So therefore, that is the more important thing. Just like Beis Shammai a moment ago had said that on Atzeres we find that we bring more olos, and that's why olos are more important than chagiga, because we bring less shlamim. Beis Hillel says, look at the Nesiim. Don't look at the korbanos of Shavuos. We'll see in a moment why. He says, look at the Nesiim. The Nesiim was an individual korban, and the chagiga is an individual korban. Beis Hillel says, that's more appropriate to compare it. And therefore, just like by the Nesiim, the shlamim were more numerous than the olos, so too, a person has to spend more money on the chagiga, on the shlamim, than on the ola. So we have two reasons for Beis Shammai's opinion, two reasons for Beis Hillel's opinion, and we're now asked why doesn't each one like the other one's reason, and we'll explain why each one found fault with the other one's reason. So we start off, well, Beis Hillel knew, my time of the army, Beis Shammai. Why doesn't Beis Hillel agree with the two reasons and opinions that Beis Shammai brought down? Shmuel says, reason number one, that which Beis Shammai said, the ko'amris, riyo adifo, de ola kula lagavoa, then the chagiga is not, that the olas riyah goes totally on the mizbeach, except for the high, and the chagiga doesn't go totally on the mizbeach, only the emurim go on the mizbeach. So therefore, the Beis Shammai said that the olas riyah is more important, more chashiv than the chagiga. So how does Beis Hillel respond to that? Adarabah, he said, pun faker, the exact opposite. Chagiga adifa, they would hold, no, the chagiga is adifa, it's more important. Why? This bay shtei achilos, because it's eaten by both Kaviyocha HaKodesh Baruch Hu on the Mizbeach, and it's also eaten by the Kohanim and the Baalim. So therefore, it's better, because both parties, so to say, to the Korban Hashem and the people eat it. And therefore, the concept of shtei achilos is more important than one achila. Don't say, well, it all goes to Hashem. That's not a good thing necessarily. That doesn't make it more chashuv. If Hashem gets some, and the Baalim and the Kohanim get some, so that's a higher level of carbon. Shtei achilos is more important than one achila. So that's how Beis Hillel would respond to Beis Shammai's point that the Riyah is adifa. They would say, no, the Chagiga is adifa. And the point that Beis Shammai had made, the Ko'amis, Nail of Me'atzeres, that you should compare on Shavuos, that you bring more olos than shlamim, and therefore the ola is more important than the shlamim, and that's why you pay more money for the ola than for the shlamim. So that reasoning, so Beis Hillel would disagree, and they say don't compare over here the korban that an individual has to bring to the korban that a tzibur brings, but compare it to the korban that the yechidim, the nesiim, bring. So don in korban yochid, it makes more sense to compare the individual's chagiga obligation, re'iya obligation, to the nesiim. And thereby the Nesiim, there were more shlamim than there were olos. So too over here, by the individual, there should be, the comparison should be to the individual, like Beis Hillel had said, and not to the tzibur on Shavuos, like Beis Shammai says. Ve'en don korban yochid mikorban tzibur. So that's why Beis Hillel disagrees with the two reasons that Beis Shammai had brought forward to say that the Re'iyah is adifa. No, now we ask the question the other way. Beis Shammai, what is their reasoning? My time of Lo'armi ke Beis Hillel. Why does Beis Shammai say like Beis Hillel that in fact the chagiga is more adif? Beis Hillel brought two reasons. Why doesn't Beis Shammai like those two reasons? So the Gemara says, why not? So the Gemara is that opinion that Beis Hillel said the chagiga adif or the eshnol for the adibor, that opinion that Beis Hillel held that before Matan Torah there was this concept of yachogu, that was a concept of a chagiga before Matan Torah, and therefore the Riyah was only given at the time of Matan Torah and Har Sinai, so therefore the Chagiga is adifa. So Beis Shammai disagrees that the only carbon that was brought before the Matan Torah was the Chagiga. Beis Shammai says, Riyah nami yeshna lifnei hadibur. They say that there also was an olas Riyah that was brought before the Matan Torah was. And that's based upon the pasuk where it says, Vayishlach es narei b'nei Yisroel v'yalu olos v'yizbuchu zvochim shlomim l'ashem parim. This was before Matan Torah, even though it's in Parshas Mishpatim, ein mukdam u'muchar b'Torah, Rashi tells us. And therefore, there were olos over here, clearly, before Matan Torah as well. So therefore, that argument that you're saying that only Chagig was before Matan Torah, and there was no Re'iyah before Matan Torah, which is Beis Hillel's opinion, that we'll see in a moment, they disagree with this idea that there were olos brought before Matan Torah. Nevertheless, Beis Shammai darshens this pasuk differently. It says, no, there were olos and Chagiga, there were olos and Shlomim before Matan Torah. So therefore, reason number one of Beis Hillel doesn't apply. And reason number two of Beis Hillel, Udukamer, is Nailif Minisim, that it makes more sense to compare the Yochid to the Nisim rather than the Yochid to Shavuos. No, they say no. Don in Dover Hanoi Ludoros, Vidover Hanoi Ludoros, and Don in Dover Hanoi Ludoros, Vidover Shainu Noi Ludoros. They disagree, and they say, granted, it's a Yochid to a Yochid, I understand that, but the Nisim was a one time affair. It was a one shot carbon, never to be repeated again. As opposed to the Shalmei Chagiga is every year on every Yontif, and therefore, Shavuos is also every year. So therefore, it makes sense to compare a carbon that is for all future posterity, for all eternity, when we have the Beis Hamikdash, Shemitz Hashem rebuilt. So these korbanos again were brought. We're not going to have the Nesim's korbanos again. So therefore, it makes sense to compare a carbon that is Noeg L'doros, it's for all eternity, that's going to be for future generations, i.e., compare the Chagiga of the individual to the korbanos of Shavuos, and Shavuos has more olos than it has shlamim, so therefore it makes sense to say that the olas riyah should be more expensive than the shalmei chagiga, because it makes sense to compare a ledoros carbon, rather than to compare a one-time event, the nisim, to the shalmei chagiga of the individual, which is ledoros. So that's why Beis Shammai doesn't like the two reasons of Beis Hillel. Now the Gemara says, no, what does Beis Hillel do? Beis Hillel, Maishno Chagiga, the Yeshno Lefnei Adibor, where do we see that it says that you bring a carbon Chagiga before Matan Torah because of the Pasuk? Dichsiv, Yizbichu Zvachim Shlomim, as we just pointed out. So they clearly have the Shlomim that are brought before Matan Torah, because even though this Pasuk, as I said, is in Mishpatim, which is after Matan Torah, which is in Yisro, nevertheless, Rashi points out, Ein Mukdam Umuuchar Batorah, and it's out of order. It really happened. The chronology was that this Maisa that's described in Mishpatim of bringing these Shlomim was before Matan Torah. So Beis Hillel says, here's my proof, Dichsiv, Yizbichu Zvachim Shlomim Lefnei Matan Torah. But then look at the Pasuk, Riyah Nami, it says, Hachsiv, Vayalu Olos. So the Pasuk says they also brought Olos. So Beis Hillel, how can you tell me that only the Shlomim was before Matan Torah? The Riyah, the Ola, is also before Matan Torah. So what does Beis Hillel respond to that? So the Gemara says, Kosavri Beis Hillel, that Ola that they brought, Ola Shekriv Yisrael B'Midbar, that was the Olas Tamid Havoy. That was the Olas Tamid. That was the regular daily carbon in the morning, the Tamid in the morning, and the Tamid Bein or Abayim. And that is not Olos that we're referring to on a Yontif. That's the daily carbon Tamid, which is an Ola, and has nothing to do with the Yontif. And therefore, Beis Hillel says that there only was the Chagiga, the Yechogu that we have over here by Shlomim, the Re'iyah that refers to Vayalu Olos, that's the regular carbon Tamid, has nothing to do with Yontif, and therefore it's only that Chagiga was mentioned before Matan Torah, but not Olas Re'iyah mentioned before Matan Torah. That's Beis Hillel's understanding of this pasuk. Obviously, Beis Shammai disagrees. Beis Shammai says, no, the Olos over here is referring to the Olas Re'iyah. And therefore, Beis Shammai Savrei, Ola Shekriv Yisrael B'Midbar, Ola Sriya Havoy. So this is a fundamental machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to what the pasuk means when it says Vayalu Olos. Beis Hillel says it means the Korban Tamid, and Beis Shammai says it means the Ola Sriya. And we'll see that this machlokus is not just Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. There are two other Tanoim that hold like Beis Shammai, and there are two other Tanoim that hold like Beis Hillel. And that's what Abaye now tells us. Some Abaye, Beis Shammai, his opinion that the Vayalu Olos is referring to the Olas Riyah, is also held by Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yishmael. All three of these opinions, Kulu Sviru Lehu, Ola Shekrivu Yisrael B'Midbar, Olas Riyah Havoy. So they all hold the same opinion. We'll see in a moment where we see this from. And we'll explain the opinion of Beis Shammai we just said, and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yishmael in a moment. And according to Beis Hillel, who says that we're dealing over here with the Olas Tamid, it's not only Beis Hillel, or Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, all three of these opinions, Kulu Sviru Lehu, Ola Shekriv Yisrael B'Midbar, Olas Tamid Avoy, that they hold that the Ola that referred to in the Pasuk Vayalu Olos is referring to the Karban Tamid of every day and not referring to the Olas Riyah. Now, where do we see the three opinions that hold like Beis Shammai, including Beis Shammai? So Beis Shammai, Abaye says, Hod Amar, that's what we just proved from this discussion of how do you understand the Pasuk Vayalu Olos. Beis Shammai, Hod Amar. Where do we see the Rabbi Shmuel holds like that? Because the Tanya, we have another Brisa. It says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Kelolos Nemru B'Sinai. According to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave general dinim on Har Sinai, but did not go through all the specifics. We turn to Vav Amud Beis. Well, Pratos, when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us all the Pratos? That was after Matan Torah, once the Mishkan was put up. Well, Pratos, Ohel Moed. They were taught to us on Ohel Moed. So, as Rashi points out, the top Rashi, Mishu Kama Mishkan, V'diber Imo Me'ala Parokas. After the Mishkan was put up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. So, over there, Pirei Shlo HaKosov, Kiddersiv, Vayikra Moshe, Vayedaver Hashem Elov, Me'ol Moed Lemar. And that's all of Vayikra, telling us all of the details of the Korbanos. So on Matan Torah, we only were taught about general idea of Korbanos. All the Pratos were taught to us only subsequently on Ohel Moed. And therefore, that is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, which we'll explain more in a second, that the Torah was given in sections, so to say. You had the entire Torah in concept was given on Har Sinai, but the details were only given subsequently in the Ohel Moed. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. Klal, and this will be the same Rabbi Akiva that agrees like Beis Hillel, as we'll see in a moment, and this is where he gets it from. But Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. Klalos upratos, not only were the general rules given on Har Sinai, but all the specifics were also taught to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai and to Klal Yisrael. Klalos upratos, demru b'Sinai. It was all taught to us at Har Sinai. And then it was repeated, v'nishnu. We learned it again, b'Ohel Moed. Moshe Rabbeinu was taught it again. After Matan Torah, when the Mishkan was put up, Moshe Rabbeinu was taught it the second time. And then, v'nishtalshu, Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to Klal Yisrael a third time, when, b'arbas mo'ov, at the end of the Midbar, when they were about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, so Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to us again. So we see, according to Rabbi Akiva, that all the klalos and the pratos were given at Har Sinai. And therefore, all the details of how to bring the korbanos was already known at the time of Matan Torah. Now, Rabbi Akiva's point will be, therefore, that all the details of the Korban Olah were known, and therefore, the Korban Tumah details were all taught to us at Har Sinai. So therefore, here we now have the proof that Rabbi Yishmael, who holds that the details were not told at Har Sinai, they're only told subsequently, so here's what we see that Rabbi Yishmael holds, like Beis Shammai, that when it says Vayalu Olos, that's referring to the Olas Riyah before Matan Torah. And why is that? Because V'isoka Daitoch Olos Shikiris Roba Midbar Olas Tamid Avoy. Because if you were to hold, like Beis Hillel, Rabbi Shmuel would say, like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, that it's referring to Vayalu Olos means it's talking about the Korban Tamid. So wait a second. Are you telling me that they brought the Korban Tamid, but they didn't yet know how to bring it? Originally, there was no commandment to go and flay the Korban Ola, the Korban Tamid, and cut it up into its component parts. And only later on were they taught about the obligation to do Hefshev v'nituach. So therefore, it can't be. So therefore, the Olos that they brought in the Midbar can't be referring to the Korban Tamid because they didn't know how to bring it yet. So therefore, it must be referring to the Olas Re'iyah. We'll question this in a moment. So how did they know how to do this? That will be a problem as well. And we'll subsequently say that this opinion of Rabbi Shmuel is incorrect. He actually holds like Beis Hillel. In any event, right now, this is the second opinion that holds like Beis Shammai, because how could you possibly bring the Korban Tamid prior to knowing how to bring it? And you only taught how to bring it well after Matan Torah at the time of the Ohel Moed. So this, therefore, says that Vayalu Olos is referring to the Olas Riyah. Rabbi Shmuel holds like Beis Shammai, and Rabbi Akiva holds like Beis Hillel. Finally, the third Tana, according to Abai, that holds like Beis Shammai is Rabbi Elazar. What did Rabbi Elazar say? The Tana, we learned in the Braisa. It says, Olas Tamid Hoasuyob Har Sinai. It says that the Olas Tamid was taught to us and offered at Har Sinai. What does that mean? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Maaseh Namru B'Sinai, V'hi Asur Lo Korban. It doesn't mean that it was actually brought. It was taught to us at Har Sinai, but it wasn't brought till later on. And therefore, the Talmud was not brought prior to Har Sinai, and therefore, the Vayalu Olos that's referring to is talking about the Olas Riyah and not the Korban Talmud. And again, here Rabbi Akiva disagrees as well. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. Karva V'shuv Lo Pascha. The Olas Tamid was in fact brought at the time of Har Sinai, and it never was stopped. And they kept on bringing it every day. And indeed, they were taught all of the Pratos at the time of Matan Torah. Ay, Elamani Makayim, what does it mean then when the Pasuk says, Hazvachim Umincha Higashtim Liba Midbar Arba Mishona Beis Yisrael? This Pasuk from Amos castigates Klal Yisrael, saying that you didn't bring me the Korban Tamid during the 40 years that you were in the desert. Klal Yisrael did not do this. How can you tell me? Karva v'shuv lo pascha, Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva would answer, Shifto shalevi, shalo avdu avodah zarah, The Shevet Levi, Bil Hashem Elai, that didn't go and have any involvement at all in the Chet HaEgel, in the golden calf, so therefore they didn't worship Avodah Zarah, so therefore they were allowed to go and bring the Korban Tamid all 40 years in the Midbar. So Klai Yisrael, according to this Pasuk in Amos, didn't bring the Korban Tamid all those years in the Midbar, but the Korban Tamid was brought, and that's what Rabbi Akiva says, Korba V'shuv Lo Pasko, because the Shevet Levi brought it. So these are the three opinions, at least according to Abaye right now, that hold like Beis Shammai, number one Beis Shammai, number two Rabbi Yishmael, and number three, this opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Well, the three opinions hold like Beis Hillel and Kuli Beis Hillel, so Beis Hillel hold the Abaye, we already said that they hold Vayalu Alos is referring to the Korban Tamid. Rabbi Akiva, we just said, Honami Damarin, we just proved that Rabbi Akiva holds that all the details, the clothes and the protos were given at Har Sinai, reiterated at the Ol Moed, and reiterated again at Arvus Moav. So they were all known at that time, so therefore no problem in saying that the Korban Tamid was the Vayalu Olos that they're referring to. So okay, we know Beis Hillel, we know Rabbi Akiva. What's the third opinion according to Abaye? Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Where do we see that Rabbi Yossi Aglili also holds like this, that the Vayalu Olos is referring to the Korban Tamid, the Tanya, because we have the following Brisa. And it says, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Balosum La Regel, when the Jewish people went up to do Elias Regel, they had three mitzvahs that they had to do. What are those three mitzvahs? They have to bring the Re'iyah, the Korban Re'iyah, the Chagiga, they have to bring the Shalmei Chagiga, and number three, they have to bring Shalmei Simcha, the Simcha. Now, those are the three obligations that a Yid has when he goes up to be Ol Regel. Now, of these three things, Yesh Bo Re'iyah, the obligation of the Oles Re'iyah, has things in it that the other two don't have, Shem B'Shtehen. And likewise, Yesh B'Chagiga, the Shalmei Chagiga, have obligations in them, Shem B'Shtehen, that the Re'iyah and the Simcha don't have. And Yesh B'Simcha, the Shalmei Simcha, have obligations, Shem B'Shtehen, that the Re'iyah and the Chagiga don't have. What does this enigmatic statement mean? So the Bryce explains it. Yesh Re'iyah, the Korban Re'iyah, the Olas Re'iyah, has items that the Chagiga and the Simcha don't have, Shem B'Shtehen. What is that? Sharia Ola Kula La Gavoha, Masha'en Kem B'Shtehen. That the Olas Re'iyah is an Ola, and it's Kulo Lashem, it goes totally up on the Mizbeach, with the exception again of the hide, and therefore it is different than the Chagiga and the Simcha, the Shalmei Simcha, which are eaten in part by the Kohanim and by the Balaam. Fine. So that's number one, that the Re'iyah is different than the Chagiga and the Simcha. Where do we find that the Chagiga is different than the Re'iyah and the Simcha? Yesh b'Chagiga, Masha'en Kem B'Shtehen, which the Chagiga has that the Re'iyah and the Simcha don't have. Here's the opinion of Yossi Aglili, that he says, Shechagiga yesh no lefnei ha'dibor, Masha'en Kem B'Shtehen. The Rabbi Yossi Aglili clearly holds that only the Chagiga was prior to Matan Torah, and the Olos that they brought were the when it says Ayalu Olos, that was referring to the Korban Tamid, but it wasn't referring to the Olas Re'iyah. That was only given at Har Sinai, not before Har Sinai. Oh, so that's where the Chagiga, which is given before Matan Torah, is different than the Re'iyah and the Simcha, which are only given at Matan Torah. Oh, this is the proof that Rabbi Yosef Glili holds like Beis Hillel. We just finished off the Braisa. What is the Simcha have? Yesh B'Simcha, Mashem B'Shtem. The Shami Simcha have something that the Re'iyah and the Chagiga don't have. What is that? Shasimcha noheges bi'anoshim u'binoshim. Mashem B'Shtem. That the Shami Simcha, an obligation for women, is what to have, as we brought down the pasuk before, v'samachta ato u'veisecha, v'samachta b'chagecha ato u'veisecha. So therefore, women are obligated in Shami Simcha. However, the Olas Re'iyah and the Shalmei Chagiga, women are not obligated in them. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We have Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and Beis Hillel that say that the Vayalu Olos is referring to the Korban Tamid and not to the Olas Re'iyah. Now to more questions, as I mentioned already before, Abaye's listing of Rabbi Yishmael amongst the opinion of Beis Shammai. So Gemara questions this, Rabbi Yishmael, my time will come mok misleik Beis Shammai. What was the reason that we said that Rabbi Yishmael holds like the opinion of Beis Shammai? We said, because Isoka daitoch ola shekriv Yisro b'midbar olas tamid avoy. You wanted to say that if it was Vayalu Olos is referring to the Korban Tamid, like Beis Hillel says, so then you got a problem. How could they possibly have brought originally the Korban Tamid without doing Hefshev v'nituach when subsequent to Matan Torah, according to Rabbi Shmuel, they only heard about this at the Ohel Moed, at the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu was taught that it has to have Hefshev Nituach. How could they have brought it without Hefshev Nituach before? It must be that it's not talking about the Korban Tamid. It must be talking about that it's an Olas Re'iyah. So Gemara says, but that's a problem, because Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Damar Olas Shekriv Yisrael B'Midbar Olas Tamid Avoy, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we just brought down his opinion, that said that the Ola that we're talking about by Alu Olos is referring to the carbon tamid. So Meikar Lo Boy Hefshev Nituach Lubasov Boy Hefshev Nituach. What does he do with that? The Tanya Riosa Glili Omer Ola Shikiri Yisrael Bemidbar Ain Atuna Hefshev Nituach Lefish Ain Hefshev Nituach Elmi Olmo VeElach. So Riosa Glili says that the Ola that they brought before Matan Torah that they brought in the Midbar didn't require Hefshev Nituach because they only learned that after. At the time of the Ol Moed, the Eilach. So Rav Yosef Aglili and Rav Yishmol both could say that, no, there is a difference that the Ola that was brought before Matan Torah did not require Hefshev Nituach, and only after Matan Torah, at the Ol Moed, where they taught that it now requires Hefshev Nituach. So just like Rav Yosef Aglili doesn't have a problem saying that maybe the Ola before Matan Torah did not require Hefshev Nituach, and therefore could be the carbon talmid, according to Rav Yosef Aglili, and therefore it could also be the carbon talmid, according to Rabbi Yishmol, and therefore only when they were taught that it now requires Hashem Yituach at the Almoid, that now requires Hashem Yituach. So that's not a raya that it's talking about the Olas Re'iyah. And therefore, the Gemara concludes and says, you're right, Sami Mikan, Rabbi Yishmol. You're right, delete Rabbi Yishmol from the list of Tanoim that hold like Beishamai. It's really only Rabbi Elazar and Beishamai, and delete Rabbi Yishmol. He doesn't necessarily have any proof that it's talking about the Olas Re'iyah. It could also be talking about the Karban Tamid, like Beis Hillel had said. Now we darshan furthermore the pasuk that we've been darshaning till now, Vayalu Olos, and it says, Vayizbuchu Zvachim Shlomim Lashem. So by Ruchis asked the following question: what type of carbon over here was the carbon chagiga that they brought? By Ruchis, it says, Haikra Hechi Kisiv. How do you understand this pasuk? Again, let's read the whole pasuk. It says, Vayishlachas Nari Bnei Yisrael, the youth of Klai Yisrael brought Vayalu Olos. Now it doesn't say what type of animal the Olos were. The end of the pasuk, it continues, it says Vayizbuchu Zvachim Shlomim Lashem, and these were Parim. So does the latter part, Parim, go only on Zvachim Shlomim, or does it also go on Olos? That's Rav Chisda's question. When it says Vayishlachas Nari Bnei Yisrael Vayalu Olos, does that mean Kvasim? Does that mean that they brought sheep? Vayizbuchu Zvachim Shlomim Lashem, Parim, that means that only the Zvachim that they brought later on, the Shlomim, were Parim, but the Olos were Kvasim. Or do we say, no, that the word Parim goes on the entire Pasuk, Odilma, Idi V'idi Parim Habu, that both of them are referring over here to Parim. So where it says, why do we care? L'may Nafkamina. As Tosus points out, this is a historical fact. It has no halacha l'maysa ramifications. Gemara is not used to asking questions of a historical nature. What happened over there? We're not interested in history. We're interested in how this impacts us for all eternity. So therefore, why do we care whether the olos that they brought were kvasim or whether the olos they brought were really parim? So the Gemara gives two nafkaminas. L'may nafkamina, number one, marzutra. Marzutra omar, but marzutra tells us, lepisuk tamim, the way you would have the trop. If the trop is going, parim goes back to the beginning of the pasuk, so there won't be a separation in the trop. Vayalu olos won't be a trop that would be like an esnachta, that would end off and say, close this discussion, and now we'll open up a new discussion. So if the word parim only went on the shlomim, it didn't go on the olos, so then vayalu olos would end off with an esnachta. If it were to, however, be continuation, it would have a different type of a trop that would be a continuation trop. So that's Marzutra's reasoning. The nafkamina is, what type of trop would you have after vayalu olos? That's reason number one, nafkamina number one. Nafkamina number two, Rav Acha Brei, the Rav Amar, he says, according to a person who were to say a neder, la'omer, harei olai ola, ke ola shekriv Yisrael b'midbar, if a person, for whatever the reason, with the sake of vow, and say, I obligate myself to bring an ola, just like they brought the ola in the midbar, vayalu olos, so then the nafkamina would be, what type of obligation does he have to do? Does he have to bring sheep, or does he have to bring a cow? My parim havu or kvasim havu. So this would be a nafkamina for a person that went and made a neder, that I'm going to bring an ola, just like the ola in the midbar. So the question would be, halacha lemaisa, does he bring sheep, or does he bring cows? So this would be the second nafkamina. What is the answer to the question? Which one is it? Rav Chisda's question, more answers with Teiku. We don't know. Yitz Hashem, Eliyahu will come today, and he will tell us the answer to this question. And with this, we conclude today's shiur.